The Olympics used to stand for peace. From its creation over 2,000 years ago to today, it was the best alternative to war and bloodshed. A way for states to compete and fight for dominance without the chaos and suffering of war. But the Paris Olympics have undermined this principle even more than before. Looking at the Olympics today offers only a grim reminder of the divisions in our world. Politics and propaganda dominate sport and fair competition at every single level. So let's find out how the Paris 2024 Olympics was transformed from a release valve for political tension into just another way for governments to drive the knife in deeper. It isn't anything new for states to use the Olympics to push their own propaganda and their own political aims. It should be contained to the competition itself, but it often ends up revolving around everything else. In the 1936 Berlin Olympics, Germany used their turn to host to spread their propaganda and prove their own racial superiority. It all fell flat on its face when the American Jesse Owens took 4 gold medals against Germany's best athletes. In 1980, when the Olympics came to Moscow at the height of the Cold War, America led a movement to boycott the event, and 60 other countries joined them. The results were clear. The Soviet Union cleared up in a lopsided competition, and even the best times and records were far below the average. At the next Olympics in Los Angeles, pretty much exactly the same thing happened. This time it was the Soviets and their satellite states refusing to attend. And yet again, the quality of the games themselves suffered without the full range of competition. The US were happy though, as they didn't have to compete with their biggest rival, allowing them to make a ton of money, all whilst advertising their own ideology to the world. Which brings us to today, where the diplomatic gulf between two sides of the world is still leaving its mark. While most countries have been present this time, Russian athletes are still noticeably absent. Russia were already in hot water over their state-sponsored doping scandal. Athletes from nearly every country have been caught taking steroids, but when they're given to athletes by the state itself, it's another matter entirely. But it's clear it isn't the only thing that's gotten them kicked out. When it was just the doping, the Olympics still let them compete, just with stricter checks and under a different name. It was a change that didn't really do anything in practice, except for punishing Olympic athletes from Russia. When it was decided that this was still too close to the country itself, they became representatives of the Russian Olympic Committee instead. But most recently, in response to the invasion of Ukraine, they've only been allowed in as individual neutral athletes. Even then, only 15 of these neutral athletes have attended. Now that they've been pushed completely out of the picture, the Russian state effectively declared that any Russian competing at the Olympics is a traitor to the nation. The Olympics have been scrubbed from their TV channels, and they're pretty much pretending they don't even exist at all. It's hard to think of an alternative for the Olympic Committee that would work in this situation, but it's still a sorry state of affairs. Russia has the third most medals in history, and yet their absence has made tons of events in the 2024 Olympics much less competitive. The biggest blow is to Russian athletes though, who have been forced to choose between the safety of themselves and their family or the sport they've spent most of their lives mastering. But it's also a worrying sign of just how bad things have gotten between the world's great powers. It shows how close to the edge of conflict the West and Russia truly are. The other world powers have also been pushing their own personal vendettas through the Olympics. China, for example, can't stomach people referring to the reality that Taiwan is and has been for decades a separate country. Instead, by throwing around their diplomatic and Olympic weight, they've gotten the Olympics to rename Taiwan to Chinese Taipei, which implies they still own the island nation themselves. The Taiwanese flag is also banned, as well as any political message about Taiwan or their very real independence. It doesn't just extend to the staff and the athletes though. One Taiwanese fan held up a completely innocent sign saying "Go Taiwan," and it was almost immediately confiscated. It's a consequence of politics that Taiwanese athletes can't represent their own country. Instead, they have to take the name given to them by their potential future invaders. They can't even hear their own anthem when they win a medal. Instead, it's just a song that the Olympics made up for them. The ease with which China has smothered and erased Taiwan's national identity is a very disturbing sign of what they could get away with in the future. It seems stupid to think that this propaganda would actually work and people would forget Taiwan is its own country. But the longer this goes on, the more accepting people will be of this new reality. It's a chilling reminder of how the world could accept Xi Jinping's One China policy. How much further would the world go to appease it? There's already an ongoing war in Europe that threatens to spill over and spark a major conflict, and it remains to be seen whether the West would actually put up a strong challenge if they did invade. The further China can push their propaganda and have it accepted by the rest of the world, the more comfortable they'll get with the idea. France has also taken the opportunity to push their own values, although they haven't gone nearly as far as China. One controversial decision revolves around certain religious head coverings like the hijab. France is perhaps the most secular state around. The separation of the church and the government is so wide that anyone who represents the state is completely barred from wearing any religious symbol or clothing. But the law does also apply to French athletes, all the way from school competitions to the Olympics. As representatives of the state themselves, they're also banned from wearing religious symbols and clothing, with the rule only really affecting Muslims and the hijab. It's hard to say what the real reasons for this ban are. France insists it's just part of their cultural values, but it really only affects Muslims. Human rights groups across the world, as well as the Olympic Association themselves, seem to take the second opinion. But despite their protests, the ban remains in place. It is a strange case of selective enforcement. Religious symbols might be banned because of whatever harm the French government thinks they could cause, but somehow child predators are still allowed to compete. If people didn't think it was part of a French campaign to stick it to religion, the opening ceremony only added more evidence. The strange inversion of the Last Supper in the ceremony was acted out by drag queen disciples and a naked blue Jesus. It seemed like it was specifically designed to annoy religious conservatives, despite France's later announcements that it didn't have anything to do with Christianity. It's a flimsy defense. Just watching it makes it clear they knew exactly what they were doing. There's no way the people involved making it didn't see the obvious parallels to the famous Da Vinci painting. But what's either just as important or even more impactful than what happens in the Olympics themselves is the social media discussion around them. Controlling what people think and feel about the games and the countries involved is far more important for propaganda. It's just one way in which the sport itself has taken a backseat. Countries like Russia, who've barely sent any athletes to the games, are still highly involved in manipulating what people are saying about them. A common tactic that we've seen is for troll farms and Russian bot accounts to post as many hoaxes and rumors as possible. Most don't work, they get ignored by the masses, quickly disproved, or rarely make a dent. But the sheer amount of AI-created images and fake news articles is more than enough for something to eventually work. Sometimes though, social media does the job for them. A key example was when controversy erupted over an Algerian Olympic boxer accused of competing in women's boxing while being biologically male. Russian bots spread around the story, social media influencers and celebrities jumped in, and soon there were over 10,000 posts about it every single hour. It didn't have anything to do with being trans. Instead, the athletes had a rare genetic disorder that can affect things like testosterone levels and other hormones. Regardless of where you stand on the debate, the Olympics has a lot of work to do in setting clear rules and making sure every competition takes place on a level playing field. And it's a shame that these social media arguments will overshadow lots of the actual events and the personal stories that came out of the Olympics. It shows that the campaign of lies is working. If it isn't lying, it's cheating. Just like every Olympics in living memory, doping has also been a problem at Paris. Most recently, China's swimming team has come under fire for numerous allegations of using performance-enhancing drugs. Back in 2021, 23 of them tested positive for a drug called TMZ, which improves endurance by letting more blood flow through the heart. China said they hadn't been using it as a drug. Instead, they had apparently all eaten contaminated food at a restaurant. It was an explanation that the Olympics accepted, while also sweeping the whole incident under the rug. And it brings us to the current Olympics, where China continued to excel. Coaches and members of other countries' teams, like Australia, have accused them of doping, saying that their results and records are inhuman. Whether it's doping or just skepticism, though, remains to be seen. But if the Olympics will deny an entire country exists for China, then you can imagine they might be more lenient in other ways as well. The internal game of cat and mouse between drugs that are harder to detect and more accurate testing will keep going. Without harsher punishments for the countries getting involved in cheating, nothing will change. Ultimately, the prestige and propaganda points a country gets for winning far outweigh the consequences of getting caught. So much of the Olympics is focused on appearances and the petty squabbles of nation that it distracts from the sport itself. Countries will do anything they can to disrupt the games while making themselves look better. But if you think back to previous Olympic games, that isn't what people remember about them at all. In a year's time, nearly everybody will have forgotten about how many medals each country got and where they were on the table. Instead, people will remember the individual stories and the magical moments that came out of the games. They'll remember Turkey's effortlessly cool shooter who didn't bother with all the lenses and special goggles, while still carrying on to take silver, or the insane millimeter finish to the men's 100 meters. Those things are what's truly important about the Olympics, and if you can see past all of the nonsense, then you can truly enjoy it for the special event it really is. It doesn't mean everything's perfect or even that good compared to previous competitions. At this rate, the next Olympics in Los Angeles will be even more of a mess of clashing ideologies and manufactured controversy. But as long as it doesn't infringe too much on the actual competition, we'll still get hell of a show.